We turn in Scripture to a few different passages. We turn first to Luke chapter 7, verses 29 through 35. Luke 7, verses 29 through 35. And then we turn in the Gospel account of John, chapters 11 and 15. But first, Luke 7. Starting at verse 29. The sermon is on how Jesus pursued friendship, so these passages are meant to show us that Jesus was pursuing friendship in his earthly life. Luke 7, verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Notice that phrase in verse 34. A friend of publicans and sinners. Then, John chapter 11. We turn to John chapter 11. This is the passage we looked at last week. Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave, from the dead. We look at two verses. John 11, verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. So notice there, our friend Lazarus. And then verse 36, immediately after Jesus wept, then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And the word love there is the word phileo. It's the word that refers to the love of friendship. Behold how he cared for him as a friend. And then John chapter 15, the main passage for the scripture reading this afternoon. John 15, verses 1 through 17. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verses 13 through 15, really especially the idea of who we are as Jesus' friends. We read there, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of friendship lies at the very heart of all the scriptures. God himself is the God of friendship. Within the Trinity, God dwells in covenant friendship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell together in a relationship of friendship and fellowship. God is within himself the God of friendship. And in God's works outside of himself, God establishes a relationship of friendship outside of himself with his elect people in and through Jesus Christ. So that Abraham is called, in Scripture, the friend of God. And not just once, not just twice, but this is how Abraham was generally, commonly known. He was known as the friend of God. And Moses too. We read of how when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God appeared unto Moses and spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. When God originally created Adam, God created Adam in a relationship of friendship. And God also created Adam with a need for friendship. That's also partly why when Adam named all the animals, Adam noticed right away that there wasn't anyone or anything that was suitable for him. No one for him to be friends with. It was not good that man should be alone. Adam was created with a need for friendship. And when God regenerates us and delivers us out of our sin and misery, God establishes with us a relationship of friendship and calls us his friends. Not equals. We are always his friend servants, and he is always our friend sovereign. Nevertheless, we are his friends. This afternoon, as we continue our series of what Jesus did, we take the time to consider the fact that Jesus pursued friendship. And what we have this afternoon is something that really gets at the heart of what Jesus did and what Jesus came for. And this doctrine is very important to preach on because the culture in which we live, I think it's fair to make this judgment, the culture in which we live is a culture that is losing a sense, a losing an understanding of what true friendship involves. Our culture is a very individualistic, selfish, and self-absorbed culture. And it also has its effects in the church. We were made for friendship. And yet, so many of God's people struggle with this aspect of their lives. Many people in the church might say that they don't have any friendships. They struggle to make friends. Many undervalue or underappreciate the importance of friendships. And there is, we could say, a friendship famine in the church today. I think this also explains why there are so many in our culture, perhaps even in the church, who are, maybe this is my judgmentalism, but many who are hypercritical, judgmental, and contentious. They struggle to be happy because they don't even know what friendship is about. They're losing the idea of friendship and how to live with others in friendship. And they're not actually living in any friendships. Selfishness, pride, a contentious spirit, and a lack of friendship go together. As the preacher puts it, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. It does us good to dwell on this doctrine this afternoon. We take as the theme, Jesus pursued friendship. We look at that theme under 2 points. First, we look at the activity of Jesus pursuing friendship, and then we look at the significance for us. Before we really get into an explanation of what friendship is, let's take note of this glorious truth, that this is why Jesus came to the earth. Jesus came for friendship. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has everything to do with friendship. In God's eternal decree of election, God chose us to be His friends. God, in the depths of His own being, willed to make us His friends. From God's point of view, we were friends with God from eternity. And the reason God the Son came to us in the conception of the Holy Child Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the reason Jesus came from the realm of glory and from the bosom of the Father to this earth into the sphere of sin and the curse and death in our flesh, and the reason He took upon Himself a real and complete human nature was this: to make us His friends. And the reason Jesus now sends His Holy Spirit into our hearts and translates us out of darkness into His marvelous light is so that we might enjoy His friendship and live with Him in a relationship of friendship. Now let us be clear, God didn't need our friendship. It's not as if God was lacking something and needed us to fill up that lack, as if we are simply a means to an end for God. In a sense, that wouldn't be true friendship either, would it? Friendship is not simply a means to an end. God is not just a means to an end for us either. That's not how we should treat Him. No, but God in Himself already enjoyed perfect fellowship and friendship among the three persons of the Trinity. But this was what God's good pleasure was. This is what He delights in, to share His bliss with His friends, by opening up to us, His elect people, His own friendship within Himself. Even with us, who had made ourselves His enemies and who had even spoiled His glorious work of creation, with us, God willed to establish a relationship of friendship. And that's why Jesus came. I hope we understand. Jesus is all about friendship. From the cradle to the grave, Jesus was pursuing friendship. His whole work of salvation was about friendship. And His whole work of salvation was so that we, experiencing and tasting the friendship of God, might in that way experience and taste the glory of God and praise His holy name. And that's what our whole life is about. It's about living in friendship and fellowship with God through Jesus. So that God is our God, we are His people, and we live with Him faithfully in that relationship of friendship. What that means is that your Christian life is all about friendship. The worship service this afternoon is all about friendship with the Lord. Going to the Lord's Supper, baptism, it's all about friendship. Raising your children in the fear of the Lord, it's all about your friendship with the Lord. Putting away sin in your life, fighting against sin, it's all about friendship. Your life as a Christian is all about friendship with God and Jesus. And it's also about friendship with his people. That's also why Jesus came to the earth. So that we might have friendship not just with Jesus, but also friendship with each other as his people. Out of our union with Jesus Christ, we enjoy communion with each other. So the Christian life is all about friendship. Friendship with God and friendship with each other as his people. And not living in friendship with the wicked. For don't you know that friendship with the wicked is enmity against God? What a warning this is for those who minimize the idea of friendship. And what instruction this is for us. Here too we see our sinful natures rising up. Because when I look at myself at least, and I think for God's people, we are inclined to minimize friendship. We are inclined to establish superficial friendships. We think we don't need friends. We think, I can do it on my own. We obviously don't appreciate very much what other people have to say. We don't care about godly friendships in the church. That's the struggle. But in Christ, living out of the new man, this is exactly what we want. And this is what satisfies the child of God. Godly, mature friendships in the Lord. The point is, Jesus and Jesus' people are all about friendship. That leads us to the question, what is friendship? And I have five things, five broad categories to help us understand friendship. First, friendship involves spiritual unity. Friendship is rooted in spiritual oneness. That stands at the heart of the friendship among the three persons of the Trinity. They are one. There is spiritual unity. They think the same thoughts. They have the same desires. They have the same delights. And when God establishes a relationship of friendship with us, what God does is make us of his party. God makes us one with him spiritually. So that by his Holy Spirit, we think his thoughts after him, we pray that his will be done, and we delight with him when his eternal decrees are being carried out. And his name is being glorified. We become one with God in a relationship of friendship. And in our relationships with each other, there needs to be that spiritual unity as well, of being of one mind in Christ. That's where friendships are formed, where two people come together sharing a common goal and purpose, the common goal and purpose of living for God's glory. That's how friendships are formed and develop. This is basic. Friendship involves spiritual unity in Christ. And that's also how friendships are maintained as well, pursuing God's glory together. At the end of the day, God stands at the heart of every true friendship. Second, friendship involves love. Friendship is rooted in love. What is love? Well, love is the bond of perfectness. And love is mutual delight in each other. And love reveals itself in how it behaves. Love gives itself for the other person. Love suffers long and is kind. Love never fails. Love is not selfish. Love hopes all things. And out of the spiritual unity that we have in Jesus Christ, seeing that we are both one in Christ, love gladly gives itself for the good and the well-being of the other person. I give myself for you. I give up my rights for you because I care for you. I want to do you good. That's friendship. Again, that's what God does. Within the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit take mutual delight in each other, and they each act for the good of the other. And in God's friendship with his people, God does the same thing. God delights in his people, he loves his people, and then he goes to work to do his people good. He delivers his people out of Egyptian slavery. He leads them through the wilderness wanderings, and he brings them into a land flowing with milk and honey. Ultimately, of course, he sends his only begotten Son so that we might have salvation in Jesus. This is what friendship does. Friendship involves love. So friendship is not about what I can get out of it. I want to emphasize that. I think that's why there's a famine of friendship in our culture today. People are egotistical. People are self-interested. The love of many grows cold. so that when people are struggling, even people in church can have the attitude, this isn't my problem, this is your problem. And that's why the state of friendship is what it is. People are content with superficial friendships because in the end they're not concerned about loving another person, they're concerned about loving themselves. This shows itself in marriages. Marriages are supposed to be a picture of the friendship between Christ and His church. In marriage is where God's people often find their closest and best friend. But what makes marriage work and what makes friendship work in marriage is this. If I truly love the person, simply because I love the person, not because I'm self-interested, not because of what I can get out of that other person, not because of what's in it for me, but because I love the other person. And I want to do them good. And ultimately, I don't even want a marriage that is simply for the satisfaction of my spouse. I want a marriage that honors our mutual friend, Jesus Christ. And that's not just true in marriage, that's true in all our relationships with one another in the church. That's love. That's friendship. Third, friendship involves loyalty. Friendship involves loyalty in this sense that I'm going to stick with my friend through thick and thin. Proverbs 17, verse 17 puts it this way, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 18, verse 34 puts it this way, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 20, verse 6 puts it this way, most men will proclaim, everyone, his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. That is to say, many people will say how good they themselves are as a friend, but a true friend is hard to find. A true friend is going to be faithful. Because many people are simply using you as a friend for themselves, and they're looking out for themselves. A friend is one who is faithful. Friendship is costly, beloved. And people, out of love for themselves, don't often want to bear the cost. You're going through a rough time? Maybe it's time for me to distance myself from you and protect myself. After all, I don't want to go through a rough time myself because of you. That's not true friendship. Friendships involve loyalty even in this regard. I pursue holiness in my own life out of my friendship with you. I take care of myself spiritually. I take care of myself personally so that I don't hurt our friendship. You know, one of the biggest reasons friendships fall apart is because of how one or the other individual is giving themselves over to sin. You want to ruin a friendship? You know what to do. All you have to do is sin. Sin destroys friendships. Sin, especially willful, impenitent sin, shows that I am not faithful to you. I ultimately am selfish. Ultimately, I'm not your friend. You're not my friend because I am about myself. No, God hates that kind of friendship, because that's not friendship at all. That's living a lie. Fourth, a friend is one who is honest with you for your good. A friend will not flatter to manipulate you or deceive in order to promote himself. A friend is one who speaks the truth, even at his own personal cost. He speaks the truth in love. And he's able to do that because he is doing it in love, and he knows that he and his friend are of the same mind in Christ Jesus. If someone is my friend, then their happiness is my happiness, and I'm seeking their good, and if I have to speak to them a hard truth, I'm going to do it because this person is my friend. If you think about it, what good is a friendship if you can't be honest with each other? I want to be a blessing to my friend. And I want my friend to refine me and be a blessing to me. I want a friend who is wise and who will give counsel and guide me and strengthen me. and that we do this mutually as the friends of Christ. As Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6 puts it, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So, a friend is one who is honest with you. And then fifth, really as a catch-all to everything, and if I've left anything out, a friend is one who shares himself with you, walks with you, and fellowships with you. A friend is a companion. A companion is one who goes with you on a journey. And you walk with each other, and there's mutual honor and mutual respect, mutual love, mutual joy in each other's presence. Friends enjoy spending time with each other. Friends feel welcome and comfortable around each other. Friends pray for each other. Friends pray with each other. That's quite something, isn't it? Who are your friends? Who are you praying for? Who are you praying with? Friends can be honest about themselves in front of their friends. I don't have to lie or pretend to be someone I'm not in front of my friend. In fact, my friend would be turned off by that. My friend doesn't want someone who isn't honest. A friend is someone we want to be with in times of sorrow and in times of joy. A friend is someone we want to share all our moments with. Friendship involves companionship. Now, when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you see that this is what Jesus did. Jesus pursued friendship. Just think of what we've mentioned. Friendship involves spiritual unity. Well, why did Jesus come to the earth in the first place? Why did Jesus take upon himself the guilt of our sins and die on the cross? Because he wanted to be one with us. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prays for his friends. That's a beautiful passage I could have used for the scripture reading, John 17. And Jesus prays that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Jesus pursued spiritual unity. Friendship involves love. We read it this afternoon. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus showed in all his life his love for his friends, because his whole life was a laying down for his friends. His whole life. Friendship involves loyalty. Well, Jesus was willing to bear the cost of being our friend. We weren't loyal to him. In fact, the very night in which he was betrayed, all his disciples ran away from him. They were offended at him. Peter denied him. And yet Jesus remains true to his friends. He calls them friends. And then he is loyal to them. Out of love for God and out of love for you and me, Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus prayed that prayer out of his love for God and out of his love for his friends. Because this is what it means to be our friends, for Jesus, to die on the cross. Jesus is loyal. And as Jesus is always faithful to us, even now he's faithful to us. As he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Friendship involves one who's honest with you. Well, Jesus was very honest with his friends. He always spoke the truth. He always spoke the truth for their good. He spoke from his heart. He blessed his friends. He also warned them and counseled them, and he rebuked them and encouraged them. And then we said friendship involves companionship. Well, Jesus was our companion. He still is our companion. He walked through life with his people. In fact, he entered into this world exactly so that he could live the life that we were called to live, but that we could never live ourselves. He walked with us on the earth, and then he died for us. And as he lived on this earth, Jesus shared himself with us. He revealed himself to us. Even now in the worship service, he's sharing himself with us. He's showing us his thoughts towards us. We see all of this in the scripture passages that we read this afternoon. What stands out in the passages that we read together this afternoon was this. the humanity of Jesus in his friendship. And what I mean is this, Jesus was a real man who had real friendships. Consider, first of all, what we read in Luke chapter 7. In Luke 7, verse 34, Jesus is quoting his accusers, and they contemptuously call him a friend of publicans and sinners. They say, Jesus is a friend of the most despicable kinds of sinners known in the culture. The kind of people that everyone could hate. Publicans. Tax collectors. What is striking is that this is how Jesus' enemies saw him. They saw that Jesus was the friend of sinners. That's instinctively what the wicked accusers saw in Jesus. That this is who he was. This is who his friends were. The least in the culture. Now, Jesus' enemies might have spoken those words out of contempt. And yet, this is a label of unspeakable comfort to those who know themselves to be sinners. Jesus makes sinners his friends. Is that shameful? Well, it's only shameful to those who don't think that they fall into that category, like the Pharisees. Beloved, Jesus was the friend of sinners. He sat with them, he ate with them, he fellowshiped with them, he enjoyed spending time with them. And what the language means, when his accusers say he's a friend of sinners, what that's communicating is that these people felt comfortable around Jesus, and they were welcome around Jesus. Isn't it striking? You read in the scriptures that the tax collectors and the sinners were flocking to Jesus. They can't stay away from him. They are comfortable around him. They see something different about him, a true friend. Others hold these people at arm's length. Jesus gives these people his love. And what Jesus is doing is befriending them. Now understand, that doesn't mean that Jesus approved of the sin that these sinners had been guilty of, but Jesus calls them to repentance, and Jesus fellowships with those who are repentant sinners. Who own up to their own sin and call it sin and put it away as the sin that it is. Repentant sinners who were written off by the proud and haughty leaders as irredeemables. Those who stink. That's Luke chapter 7. Consider, second of all, the two verses we read in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus calls Lazarus his friend. Our friend Lazarus is sick. In verse 36, we read that the people said, "Behold how he loved him." And I already said the word love there is the word phileo, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's the kind of love that friends have as brothers. Behold how he cared for his friend. And the point is this, Jesus was a man who had friendships, real, deep, meaningful friendships. And then when we look at John chapter 15, we again see how Jesus speaks very plainly to his disciples about how they are his friends. Jesus is opening up his heart to his disciples. He's eating a meal with his disciples. He is sharing himself with his disciples. Jesus says, "You are my friends." He doesn't even just say, "I'm your friend." He says, "You are my friends." Here in the upper room, I said it around 8 months ago, we had a sermon on Jesus calls us friends. Here in the upper room, Jesus and his disciples are just chatting away. God in the flesh, speaking freely with his friends. The disciples can ask whatever questions they want. Jesus is communing with them. He lets them completely into his life. He opens up to them. His deepest purposes. There's nothing held back. He shows them his heart. His disciples are welcome to come to him. He was their friend. And then even think about how among those 12 disciples, there was that inner circle of 3 disciples, Jesus' closest friends. And then even among those three disciples, John was the one who seemed to be Jesus' closest friend. He's the one repeatedly referred to as the one whom Jesus loved. They were all friends, and evidently there were some that were closer than others, because they were friends. And that happens with friends, when you have real friends. But they were all his friends, and none of them deserved it, but Jesus shared himself freely with them all, almost as if, you want to know my friendship, come to me. And the more you want to know me as your friend, just come to me. And they all enjoyed true friendship with Jesus. I think that was, maybe I'm getting off here, but maybe that's the secret of John. He was the disciple of love. He was the one who looked at the heart of the matter. And I think Jesus understood that and loved that about John. And understood that. And we all have that. But maybe John just had it in a different degree. I'm getting off of here, but there's something striking there, right? The point is, it's true friendship. This is what Jesus came for. He came for friendship. Why did Jesus live 33 years in this evil world, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows? Why did he go through the experience of weeping at Lazarus' graveside? Why did he humble himself to the dust? Because of friendship? Why did Jesus suffer the agonies and horrors of hell on the cross? Why did the Prince of Life endure shame and humiliation and hell? He didn't have to. If he was only interested in himself, it was for friendship. He died for us. Congregation, this is the kind of friendship that passes all understanding. This is the kind of friendship that's too deep to appreciate. But when you look at who you are and the reality of your salvation, then let this be also at the center of what you say about yourself. I am the friend of Christ. That's amazing. You know, sometimes because of our sins, we can get this picture of God and of Jesus as someone who's very harsh. Because we forget what friendship's all about. Or someone who is very aloof to our situation. Or someone who's maybe embarrassed by us and our sin. And that's not the way it is. God's your friend. He is gentle. He cares for you. He is your companion. He is loyal. And your calling, as one who's been made the friend of God, is to live faithfully as his friend. And that ought to be your grief and your sorrow. Not the embarrassment and shame of your sin, but I haven't lived faithfully as the friend of my friend. I've hurt my friend. Well, that leads us to the second point of the sermon. What's the significance for us? Well, first of all, as I just said, recognize your own relationship of friendship with Jesus Christ. And then maybe do some self-examination and ask yourself, am I actually living as the friend of Christ? It's easy to live as the servant of Christ in a certain sense. Am I living as his friend? Yes, I do all kinds of things, but am I actually doing it as the friend of Jesus? Do I actually take the time to enjoy Jesus' friendship? Do I commune with him? Do I, if I may put it reverently, do I chat with him like the disciples did in the upper room? Am I showing myself to be a faithful friend of Jesus, living in this personal relationship with him? Or is it more just about my works and all the good things I've done that ought to please him? Or is it maybe on the other end more about how I'm just a wretched sinner and I can't do any good works of myself and we all understand that? Is it all about that? Or is there any conception here about who I am as the friend of Jesus? Am I loyal to Jesus? Do I share myself with him in prayer? Am I walking with him down the pathway that he walks? This is what Jesus wants from us. After all, we are his friends. It's what you want from your friend. Second, the significance is this. We shouldn't take our earthly friends lightly. Jesus himself had friends. He needed friends. He was human. Humans need friends. And in Christ, we can enjoy true, faithful friendships. And Jesus himself took the time to develop friendships. That too was part of how he fulfilled God's law and fulfilled all righteousness for his people. That wasn't a waste of time. That was Jesus fulfilling God's law. Jesus had close friendships. It wasn't even just fulfilling God's law. It was part of what he instinctively did as he was fulfilling God's law. Do I have close friendships like Jesus did? Do I take the time to develop those friendships? Friendships are a precious gift of God. How many people on their deathbeds don't say this kind of thing? I wish I had spent more time with my friends. Friendships are meant to be a blessing and to be enjoyed and developed. It may sound simple, but it needs to be said. Some things that are simple need to be said. Take the time to establish and build friendships. Congregation in love, I tell you, take the time to maintain friendships. To maintain your friendships. They are good for your soul. God uses our friends as iron sharpening iron. And to enjoy the salvation he gives us in Christ. Third, the significance is this. Friendships are hard work. Jesus understood that. Took the work, the labors of his suffering and death on the cross so that he could make us the kind of friends that we ought to be. And even now he's spending our whole lives making us into these kinds of friends that we ought to be. Friendships are hard work. That's true for us too. Having a friend is challenging. Because having a friend means putting away all selfishness and all pride, and it involves investing yourself in another person. I'll say it again. Oftentimes we pursue friendships out of a desire for personal benefit. We pursue friendships in a very selfish way. It's really not what friendships are about. I think that's why some people struggle with friendships. They struggle with friendships because their default approach is how that friendship is going to benefit them. Almost as if I can make a friendship with the least amount of personal cost and the most amount of personal benefit, well, then I'm interested in the relationship. Some people don't like their friends because they think they should have better friends. That's not true friendship either. That's a proud and selfish attitude. That's certainly not the mind of Christ, is it? He didn't say I should have better friends. Where are they? This is not going to lead to true friendship either. Then we still haven't understood the first thing about our own friendship with the Lord. You want to know how to make friends? Look to Jesus. Having a friend is about truly loving someone, being of one mind with them, enjoying them, wanting to be a mutual blessing to each other, out of love for each other and out of love for the Lord. Again, friendships aren't a means to an end. Friendships are their own blessings. And they can be difficult because developing friendships involves risk. Jesus experienced that too with Judas Iscariot. Jesus calls him friend, doesn't he? What does that mean? That's striking. Sometimes we get hurt. Psalm 55, we're looking at it in family visitation. Ahithophel with David. Jesus understands that too. But God calls us to develop friendships in the church. To show ourselves friendly. It's part of what Jesus has done. In making us his friends, Jesus also calls us to be friends with his friends. We need to be friends one of another. Could speak here also about students in the class. You have to be friends with each other. You are friends. That person sitting at the desk next to you, that's the friend of Jesus. And if you can't be that person's friend, you're not going to be Jesus' friend. Jesus says, my friends go with me. We go together. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray with each other. That's what friends do. And that involves exposing ourselves too, doesn't it? Why don't I pray so quickly with my friends? Well, maybe it feels odd. Maybe I'm exposing myself. Maybe they'll judge me. We all love praying. And to pray together feels right because we're friends. Finally, let me say this. Let us remember the purpose of friendships. To reflect the glory of God and to give glory to God. God gives us friendship in order to enter more deeply into the riches of salvation. Those riches we have in Jesus Christ. And to enjoy those riches more fully with each other. God gives us friendship to reflect His own happiness and His own joy within Himself. So I hope it strikes you. First of all, that Jesus had friends. We understand that. And second, that you are the friend of Jesus. And third, that in Jesus we are friends with each other. This is a beautiful thing. May God bless our friendships and give us the grace to appreciate and pursue this good gift of salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, may Thy Word enter our hearts. May it shape us and touch us and do us good. We see Thy love in so many different ways. We thank Thee for Thy friendship. We pray that we might live faithfully as Thy friends. And we might reflect Jesus Christ in our relationships with each other and be a true friend indeed. Especially here in this congregation as brothers and sisters in the Lord, as children and young people, and all of us together, may we be friends indeed. And may our friendships exalt and glorify Thy name. And may we experience the work of Thy Holy Spirit in our midst as we strive to honor Thee in the friendships that Thou hast established here. Where we lack friendship, Father, then cause us to see Jesus Christ and we pray give us the grace to be more like Christ. And then give us those opportunities to show ourselves friendly. And then we also pray, bring to us in our lives Thy people more and more, that we might enjoy that friendship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.